The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a Thursday edition of a numbers game here on VSiN, presented by BetMGM. It is Matt Brown on the desk for Gil, Kelly Bidlin. The familiar beard is still behind the glass, so do not worry about that. Gil taking some rest and relaxation, and he'll be back in here in a couple of weeks. But great show for us here on Thursday. Jonathan Von Tobel will join us a little bit later, our senior NBA analyst here at VSiN. Talk about where he sits as we head into the All-Star break. Eric Eager, frequent guest here on the program. Talk all things NFL with him. And, of course, we will close out the show. Daytona 500 this weekend. So our Gone Racing crew going to hop in here on the desk. And we'll talk about all the different ways that you can bet NASCAR. Because, again, if you are shifting from NFL and you've really never bet at any of these other sports, and I totally get it, some people just bet NFL, but you got some money, you had a good season, you got some money in the account, you want to fire a couple of other places, we're going to tell you about NASCAR and how you can go about betting that as well. So stick around for all of that. Kelly, some good stuff going on here on the show today, and of course, in the NBA, some news as well that we're going to hit on here momentarily. In the college basketball world, that being said, Tennessee does take down number one Alabama, 68-59. It was the fourth team to lose this season as the number one team. And what we're looking at, Kelly, we're sitting here with this Tennessee team that we actually talked to Kai McKeon about, where it was a Tennessee team that was cruising along. And then they hit a little bit of a rough patch. He said he thought it was nothing more than a little bit of a rough patch. And then, of course, here we go. It kind of bears out with the win here over Alabama.
Yep, 3-point favorite last night, Tennessee. So, you know, this is the quote-unquote upset you'll hear on other networks, so you're not going to hear about being an upset here.
Yes. Right?
3-point favorite, take care of business.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, right, is we know heading into a game who actually is the favorite and what would be considered an upset. This would not be considered an upset. Mikal Bridges set a career high with 45 points last night in that 116-105 win over the Heat. And listen, there were some rumors coming out. I was listening to NBA radio on the way in this morning, Kelly, that apparently there were some fat offers out there for Mikal Bridges after he got moved, and I guess just got kind of passed along. But man, that's how highly he is thought of around the league. I heard multiple firsts were being offered for his services, and apparently that was not going to be enough. And here he goes out there, 45 points, and shows you why.
It's always tricky when you're assessing NBA players, right? Because Mikal Bridges, he's great, he's young, but maybe most importantly, he is on a very, very team-friendly contract. Four years, $90 million. Ain't going to cost you what some of these other guys are costing you right now. So that's when you hear Mikal Bridges brought up like that, you always got to keep that part in the back of your mind. He's really good, and we don't have to pay him nearly as much.
Jaren Jackson last night, 5 steals, a block, and 9 rebounds. Grizzlies win 117-111. But, of course, that is one of those markets we talked about yesterday with Drew Dinsick, is these kind of the year markets. And with that, defensive player of the year, Jaren Jackson goes ahead and, I would assume, extends his lead there in that race. LeBron James makes his return to the Lakers lineup last night. They win 120-102 over the Pelicans. Pelicans down early. They fight back and then end up losing that one by 18. And then Nikola Jokic, I mean, what can you say about this guy? I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. Last night, another triple-double for him. Nuggets beat the Mavericks 118-109. This was without the services of Kyrie Irving in this one. Kelly, we look at this and we talk about the MVP race, and Nikola Jokic obviously is the favorite, but we end up getting some news here that they're talking about to Joel Embiid about whether or not he is going to play in the All-Star game. What's he feeling heading in the All-Star break? And the quote came out, "I am not healthy. I haven't been healthy for the past 3 weeks or a month. I was just trying to get to the All-Star break without missing games and stuff, but I feel like I've reached the point where I need to follow the doctor's advice." But then he said, "I should have been sitting for 2 weeks, so we'll see how the next few days go. And from there," now we look
some
at this market.
Comments.
Yes. Yeah. In which Nikola Jokic, -190 to win MVP. This is not great news for me, who does have a fat Joel Embiid MVP ticket. So,
oh, do you?
Yes. So not great on that. Giannis sitting +650, Joel Embiid 4-1. Luka is 12-1, Jason Tatum 16, and then it drops really, really big to Ja Morant at 50-1. But basically what it comes down to for me, and my question for you in this really is, you have Nikola Jokic, who's basically going out and triple-doubling, like, you know, every other game, it feels like. And mm-hmm. I understand. We always talk about this. Like, is there going to be player fatigue? Is there going to, you know, do people get tired of voting for player A or B or C because he's there every single year? But you look at what Jokic is doing, and comparatively, yes, in the same breath, certainly Embiid should be there. Certainly Giannis should be there. But they are not doing what he is doing on a nightly basis over and over and over again. And then now you hear this news about Embiid, even sitting at 4-1, you might say, like, man, there could be some value there because I feel like he's not that far off, but he might start missing some games here down the stretch. I mean, I'm not trying to read into anything, Kelly, but if he's saying I'm not healthy and haven't been healthy for 3 weeks, you got to think that this team has the eye on the prize, not necessarily trying to get him beat an MVP, right? So if he's not healthy, they're going to make the playoffs. They know they're going to make the playoffs. They just got to make sure that they don't fall too far. I imagine we might start seeing some of these rest nights come a little bit more frequently for Embiid.
Oh, I would think at least that. I think that it's interesting to how to handle this news this morning, because I guess my thoughts are the same as the books. It was a slight move, basically, you know, across the board more to Jokic in this market after this last night. I mean, after the combination of Jokic dropping a triple-double and then Embiid having these comments, you do see a slight move towards Nikola Jokic in this market. It is one of those tough ones, Matt, because you just don't see players come out and say things like this very often, right? So I think there's one of two ways to look at this. It's, okay, whatever he's hurt with, he's clearly been playing through and playing at a very high level, right? So if he does end up missing some time, how much time should we really expect him to miss? Maybe it's not much, but we have seen, this is a guy with a history of injury issues, and I mean,
and the number's not all that long. I mean, you know, it's 4-1. It's a nice ticket, I think, to have. But I mean, at 4-1, it's not really even all that long. Like, at this point, if I'm going to give you free 100 Matt bucks, are you going to put them? Are you going to put it on Embiid, or are you going to put it on Giannis? I mean, you're probably putting it on Giannis.
That's where I'm getting to. I think the one thing I can say today is you can't touch Joel Embiid in this market right now.
Yeah.
Until you get cut through the All-Star break and you really figure out what's going to happen with him and how much he's going to be sitting, you can't bet him right now. I even think, Matt, you can make the argument. I've got it written down today. I'm shopping around today to look at Jokic and Giannis odds. Because if there's anything Jokic, I think, under minus 150 that I can somehow find, that's a bet on for me. And if I can find anything better than a 7-1 on Giannis,
yeah,
I think it's worth having a ticket on.
Well, because they're two games clear now of the Sixers. Mm-hmm. And if we are assuming that Embiid is going to miss a couple of games here down the stretch, if not more, as they look towards the playoffs and try to make sure that he's healthy for the playoffs, that is only going to make Giannis look that much more attractive, because you would assume that the gap between the Bucks and the Sixers at least increases by a couple of more games, right?
Right. That plus, you know, this always, you know, kind of to your point too, if the Bucks pass the Celtics in the standings and they're number one in the East, right? How much do voters read into that? I do think that, look, as much as I love Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's the best player in the NBA, in my opinion. If you were starting a just fantasy draft of five guys you got to put on the court, it starts with him every single time. But we are talking about Nikola Jokic having another one of these seasons where he's threatening, he's averaging a triple-double, right? He's third in the league in assists, and he's a center. Yep. It really is one of those seasons where he's having a better season this year than he's had the past couple seasons.
And that's why I think that this voter fatigue argument that you keep hearing, I think we've gotten to the point now where voters are savvy enough to understand, like, listen, this guy is doing something at a position that we have just never seen before ever in the history of the NBA. And, I mean, it's on a nightly basis too, right? I mean, this isn't one of those deals where, oh, every now and then we go, oh, wow, Jokic had a really nice game. It's like, no, it is night in, night out, every single game. This guy is continuing to put up the numbers. And I know people are going to look and say, well, what about Luka at 12-1? I don't know what much more Luka can do, right, Kelly? I mean, you look, the guy is averaging 33 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists. And if anything, you would think that maybe that ticks down a tad with Kyrie in town.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not going to exponentially go up. So, I mean, he's already putting up 33-8-8, and he's looked at the market as a 12-to-1 shot to win this thing. I can't imagine that the numbers increase with Kyrie in town, and if anything, maybe slightly decrease. And so while it is a fat number on Luka, and certainly the stats are eye-popping, I don't really have a ton of interest in him sitting there at 12-to-1 because, in my opinion, maybe a point or two down in the scoring category, maybe one fewer rebound, one fewer assist. And, that's enough maybe even to skew some people's image of what Luka is.
Totally. Yeah. And look, even before Kyrie got there, right, I could say – I think this is starting to become a thing with the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic mm-hmm. now almost every year where it's – great, your numbers are amazing. Your team's 500.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for a guy who has as much usage as he does, the ball in his hands as much as he does, it might be unfair, for me to sure. say this in a market like this, but sorry, that's how voters look at these things. You're one of the most ball-dominant players in the league, and this team has not been able to figure out how to construct the proper roster around you to fully get the best out of you to make the team better. And right now, your team is 2 games over .500.
Jason Tatum sitting 16-1, I don't really have any interest in either. I think that they are vulnerable to get caught by the Bucks, and with that, mm-hmm. that would make that ticket useless because if they end up getting caught, then it's going to go to Giannis or just stay at Jokic, right? Like, I don't see a clear path for Tatum, and yeah. So
I'm pretty sure you and I are saying this is already down to a 2 or 3 horse yeah, race, yeah. depending on what happens with Joel Embiid.
Seriously, it's absolutely nuts to say that, but I kind of feel like that's where we sit right now. We know that Russell Westbrook has talked to 4 different teams. What are those teams, and do we think it matters from an odds perspective on the other side?
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love MGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older, physically located in the great state of Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you do have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700. Matt Brown in for Gil here on A Numbers Game, Thursday edition. Do want to talk about a couple of other NBA things. We're going to run through our Genesis Invitational picks real quick. They are in the process of teeing off. Those first groups are kind of getting out there on the course, but if you have access to Rest of Country books, they will still be up out there, so you will be able to get to those. Kelly, real quick as we go through, for me, Tony Finau, Max Homa, Sung J.M., Hideki Matsuyama are kind of my short-ish shot outrights. I actually added a little bit on Hideki and on Max Homa last night because the odds drifted a little bit further on those
second
guys.
Second week in a row, I think you and I have both done that with Homa.
Yeah, those odds drifted a little bit further last night, so I did go ahead and get in a little bit more on those. Wyndham Clark, Shane Lowry, and then Adrian Meronk are the 3 long shot guys that I have in there. Listen, it is we do pretty extensive modeling. If you're not already a subscriber of Long Shots, you should go in vsin.com/podcast. That's where you can find all of our podcasts. We'll go ahead and click on that. Kelly and I, along with Wes Reynolds, give our thoughts fully on all of these as to why we end up on these players. But for me, these were all guys that consistently popped all the way through, especially the shorter guys. Now, the longer guys on the Wyndham Clarks, the Shane Lowrys, and the Adrian Meronks, they were much higher in the model than the odds dictate, right? So, like, mm-hmm. I was getting models that popped up with Shane Lowry at the 12th position, right? Wyndham Clark kind of at the 15th position, and then Adrian Meronk coming in like 21st in the field, where his odds are like 70th in the field, right? And so I'm just kind of matching up where my numbers are ranking these guys, and it felt a little off with those 3 guys. So again, 100-1 on Wyndham Clark, 125 on Lowry, and then 225 on Meronk. A couple top 10s in Jason Day and Ricky Fowler for them to keep the heaters going here. 2 different reasons here. I think Ricky Fowler's change in swing is actually for real, and I think this is a guy that can get it done. Listen, I like it much better as a top 20 bet, but we don't have that market here. So if you do, I would much rather go that direction with him. Jason Day, I'm fine with the top 10 because I think his upside is contending, actually, in this tournament this week. And so Jason Day in top 10. I have some matchups as well. Lowry over Seamus Power, Hideki over Matt Fitzpatrick, Ricky Fowler over Will Zalatoris. And listen, this is not a talent type bet on that one, just to clarify things, because I know, right? Ricky Fowler, yes, on the way up. Will Zalatoris at his peak is a better golfer. That being said, Will Zalatoris has not been healthy. He skipped the whole fall swing, battling an injury. He had to change the way he swings over the course of the fall to try and alleviate the pain on his back. And with that, he didn't feel even healthy enough to play a tournament last week that had a $3 million first prize, right? And so that's kind of where we're at. I'm playing the health angle there on that one. And then Luke Donald over Tiger Woods. This number no longer available. I wouldn't recommend it. Luke Donald, the odds now drifted close to 2-1, Kelly, on Luke Donald over Tiger Woods. So ended up, a good bet, I guess, at -135, Luke Donald over Tiger Woods. The one bet I did add last night, the book not to be named that was offline for 5 days, did come back. Posted an over-under first-round score for Tiger Woods at 73.5, and I pounded the over on that.
Oh, man, that's a good bet.
Yes, so I pounded the over on that one. Don't know if that's still available out there. Real quick, what'd you get in your account?
Yeah, I might have to check that one out on the break. That's a good one. I like that. Running through mine, I think you did a great job, too, of kind of talking about how we always talk about our modeling, and that's really, I don't know if we take the time to slow it down and discuss, hey, what our rankings are, comparing them to the odds board is essentially what we're doing.
We're not saying these guys are necessarily at the top of the models. It's just where they do show up isn't in line where they are on the odds
exactly, board. Exactly, exactly. So Xander Schauffele, I am back on this week, 18-1. Max Homa, 24-1. Like you said, I added to him, though, last night again as well. Patrick Cantlay, 30-1. I don't think you're going to be able to find many of those out there anymore. I played that kind of just an opening number on Cantlay. Siwoo Kim, 110-1. And then Shane Lowry, I know you really dug into him. It convinced me to add a couple bets on him because he was higher up there in more of my longer-term modeling stuff, but I know you dug, and I was digging into some Euro stats, but I know you went more fully on that. I will be happy to tell you on Lowry. It was a guy we made some money off of last year for sure. So 135-1 on him for an outright. Top 10 on Siwoo, also a top 40 on Siwoo. Top 40, I played Hayden Buckley. And then top 20, Xander Schauffele, Tony Finau, Max Homa, Jason Day, and Wyndham Clark. Tournament matchups, Homa over Morikawa, Wyndham Clark over Taylor Montgomery, and Shane Lowry over Seamus Power. To miss the cut, Tiger Woods -205. Sorry, Tiger. first round leader, do have, I did make four plays. You're going to laugh at this one, Matt. Siwoo 65-1, Keith Mitchell 71, Brendan Steele 100-1. And one ad late last night as I finished watching the first episode of Full Swing. God, I keep forgetting the name of them. They're terrible titles, by the way. That and the tennis one. I don't know why I hate the titles. But after watching that, I'm like, you know what? Justin Thomas, I'm going to play you at 30-1, the first round leader. After watching that, yes, I got sucked in by a documentary and this talking about those two, the three buddies playing together today, Tiger, JT, and Rory. And you know JT and Rory never want to play with Tiger and play poorly. So
you no reason to feel guilty about that.
I pulled trigger on JT.
You have no reason to feel guilty about that. If you did not watch Full Swing yet, it's all up on Netflix. Already my favorite show of all time. Move aside Sopranos, Game of Thrones, all this stuff, South Park, any of these shows. All of them are done. Already my favorite show of all time. 20 minutes into the episode one, I was like, this is it. This is all I want. Just feed me this. Pump this into my veins year round. This is exactly what I need. I would even be okay with them not giving us all the episodes at once. That's how much I enjoy it. I would wait on a week-to-week basis if I had to.
How many did you get through yesterday?
I got through the first two.
You got through the first two. I only got the first one.
Okay.
Would you like my random notes that I jotted down on my phone after maybe a few cocktails when I watched this? Because I was out at dinner last night.
Yeah, but just on episode one and no spoilers.
So just on episode one.
Yes.
No
spoilers, though, because some people might not have watched this.
I don't really think this is a spoiler.
Okay.
I don't think any of these are spoilers.
Okay.
Okay. love that they don't hide the cash game part of tournament prep.
Yes, that is also right. not a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler. And they address it almost immediately, but that is how golfers prepare for tournaments. And the fact that we don't talk about that more, or it's like, I don't know, it's a taboo subject for us to discuss, is ridiculous, and I'm so glad Netflix addressed it basically right off the top.
Well, head north of here, and there's Shadow Creek, which is a very, very, very exclusive course here in Las Vegas. It's one of the hardest courses to get on because you have to be staying at MGM, you have to limo out there, all the stuff that goes on with all of that. That course is known as the course where more money has changed hands than any other course on earth, because they're already in Vegas. They're already feeling gambly as it is anyway. And then they get out to that course and things just get really, really nuts. I've heard several different six-figure days that have gone down out there between not only just golfers, but golfers going out with just rich people and, like, you know, with the handicap played and all that. So, yes, it is a big, big thing.
Rich people love to lose money to golfers with names, right? It's like rounders, right? Like, people want to sit at the table and just dump money to the big-time poker players. Yeah. All right, note number two, and this is more of a personal thing that you're going to laugh at. The episode one was awesome. I really don't need more Jordan Spieth in my life, though, talking into a camera. I already get that on the PGA Tour every week.
Oh, dude, he was great. He was great. So the episode focuses mainly on Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. That being said, they bring in Ricky Fowler, who's close with the group, and talk to him a little bit about things. You bring in the dad who played who was a very main character in Justin Thomas's life as he was coming up, a current PGA pro who teaches. And then you also have just the Jordan Spieth story about how he was kind of like the golden child, right? I mean, like, he won all the junior stuff, all the whatever. And so it just kind of follows you through these guys and how things go and whatever. And it was fantastic the way they did it, the arc of the episode and how all that, it was just absolutely fantastic. Okay. Please, please, please go watch it.
And note number three, maybe the most important here. God, I miss South Florida when they're showing those guys golfing in Jupiter. It's 29 degrees outside right now.
Wait till episode two, buddy.
What am I doing in random snow day desert here right now when it is so gorgeous in South Florida? Well, oh wait, someone's paying me to talk about sports.
Wait to episode two when Brooks Koepka is one of the main characters.
Oh yeah.
Also in Jupiter, Florida, but you see his home. Where he lives and what he does when he's not practicing golf and all the things like that. And let me tell you,
it's a tough life for Brooks.
It's something else. We're going to talk the NBA. We'll talk about that Russell Westbrook stuff. We'll talk some Kevin Love possible destinations as well when we come back on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on the NHL, NBA, or college basketball, you got to head on over to VSiN.com, get you a pro subscription for an introductory offer of just $9.99. American, $13.46 Canadian. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games and events of the season. Experts are going to break down the brackets, best bets, and daily props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today. Get an introductory offer of just $9.99. That is VSIN.com/subscribe. Matt Brown in for Gil here on A Numbers Game. Kelly, we warned our Canadian friends yesterday that it could get more expensive. It is $13.46 today. It was $13.40 yesterday. It was $13.32 the day before. What are you doing? It cost you 6 more Canadian pennies today than it did yesterday. Just go get the subscription. Go and get it. $9.99 over
starting
at VSiN.com. I know.
Jeez.
Seriously. Inflation. Or American dollar strong is what we got. Like U.S. dollar strong.
Yeah.
What we're dealing with here. So I'm going to pay off the tease here. Russell Westbrook has apparently talked to 4 different teams. Those teams are the Wizards, the Bulls, the Heat, and the Clippers. And if we take a look, Kelly, you and I were talking off camera and we were saying, listen, in the right frame of mind, if Russell Wilson were to, if Russell Westbrook were to come in and actually say, hey, look, I'm okay with being a bench player. I'm going to play 16 to 18 minutes a night. That's it at max. And I'm going to try, whenever these starters are off the court, to limit if there's any sort of drop-off from a scoring perspective for the teams. We're going to try to raise the baseline of the bench minutes just a point or two, which actually could be huge when it comes to win equity for a lot of these teams. He could make these teams better. It's just depending on whether he will actually come in with that type of mindset. I mean, the first thing you did was say, hey, look, I think the Heat would be a prime candidate for a guy like Westbrook.
Yeah, I do. I was just checking out with the – I think they're the team that makes the most sense of those four that, that you were talking about. We know a couple years ago he was linked to that team a bit, possibly going to Miami already. So I think that they are probably just kicking the tires on those discussions again. The one thing you have to consider, I think in theory, he's the perfect fit for the Miami Heat in this, in a secondary unit role, if some of the other players could shoot better from deep. The only problem is you're adding a bad three-point shooter to a team that isn't shooting as well as they have in seasons past from three. Got this pulled up on the season so far. You got Tyler Hero is the only person on the team. I know him and Caleb Martin, two guys on the team shooting over 36% from three, and they are right at 36.1 and 36.9%. You got a bunch of guys hovering in that low 30s mark for 3-point percentage. That would be the concern, but I think this Heat team, they need that jolt of offense off the bench. So I do think he actually could work out okay there. It's just, it does come down to that. These days, Matt, it's the points and assists versus turnovers. Mm-hmm. And as long as you can help this team offensively, and really that, you know, the plus minus that we make fun of so often, but the plus minus, if you can stay in that plus range for this team and not take away too many points while you're on the court, then yeah, I think that's the team that makes most sense. I don't know. You know, when you look at the Clippers, I mean, if we talk Wizards and Bulls, it's more desperation moves, right? Yeah. It's more, okay, we need a piece to try to get us there.
Could I interest you in a Bulls Eastern Conference ticket, though?
No.
At 250-1?
No.
250-1?
No.
I'm not saying he puts them over the edge or anything, but 250-1 to win the East. I mean, look, they've got a couple of scores as it is already. I don't know if he really adds or does anything. He certainly makes them better again, just from a depth perspective in all of this. The East is so incredibly, you know, I mean, top heavy with the Celtics, Bucks, and Sixers that you start to look and you say, whatever. I mean, the Heat are 16-1 to win the conference. Would that change your mind on the Heat at all? Like, I mean, where from a betting perspective can we look and say, you know, listen, the other reason the Bulls are so far down right now is because they're currently in the play-in part of it. It's not out of the realm of possibility that they could play themselves out of being in the play-in part. They're not that far out. Actually, they're a game off of where the Knicks sit right now. Do we think the Nets are really going to hold on with their current situation? Probably not. So, I mean, they could actually play themselves into a place where they don't have to be in a play-in. And then that 250-1, just based off the fact they don't have to be in the play-in, it would just be a ticket it would be a plus EV ticket, even if you think that there's, you know, only a 1 in 180 chance or whatever. You know, you would still have a 250-1 in your account. So just, you know, again, something to think about, because the Heat could certainly easily play themselves into just the playoffs and not have to be in the play-in.
The Heat, yes. Yeah, they absolutely could. Chicago, I don't think I'm going to be – I don't remember a year, Matt, where I'm going to be as bullish of from preseason to the end of the season of it's Celtics or Bucks out of the East, and maybe the Sixers. But beyond that, I don't want to sell the Cavs completely short. I do think the Cavs stand a fighting chance.
Yeah.
But, man, I don't know that you can talk me into anybody else besides those four teams. And I would say the teams that it affects them – the team that it would affect the most from a betting standpoint, I think, is the Wizards.
Yeah, because I was going to say that is the one where I think the odds probably shift the most.
Yeah, because then they're a legit. They have a legit threat of making the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, and I think the group of teams that are in that in the playoff and in that play-in range start to separate themselves a bit more, and the Wizards would be in that group, I think, of, hey, they could absolutely do it. Yeah. There's enough talent on that team that they should be able to do it. Chicago, too. No, I mean, both those teams kind of don't really have – they don't have many excuses this year for as being as bad as they are.
They really don't. So what – so let's just assume – so we're looking at the Heat again that are half a game off of the Knicks right now, the couple games off of the Nets. Do we think the Nets hold on? I mean, like, do we think that the Nets are going to actually stay inside the top six? Because that really does shift how we view this from a betting perspective.
Yeah, and we've got right here the odds make the play-in tournament for the Eastern Conference.
I mean, Nets, plus 320 on the net seems like pretty interesting to
me. Yeah, yeah. I do think I'll be a guy who's a bit higher on the Nets the remainder of the season than most people. They're going to fall, but it's how far do they fall, right? Here's the thing that they have going for them is not only do I still like a lot of the pieces that they have on that team, obviously Mikal Bridges putting up 45 points last night, a good example of why, but I don't know how many more teams are really threatening to surpass them in the Eastern Conference standings. I'm still not fully sold on the Knicks. The Heat, the Hawks, the Raptors, the Wizards, all these teams. And we're talking about, what, two teams of those would need to pass them for them to land in the play-in tournament? Yeah, it could happen. And at over 3-1 odds, it's probably worth a bet. I don't know that I would make the bet, though.
So of these teams, you have to assume if they're talking to Russell Westbrook, that means those four teams are certainly looked to like make some sort of addition as we head into the playoff push. So Kevin Love finalizing a buyout with the Cavs this morning.
That one's real interesting.
So where might he end? I mean, listen, I understand in limited stuff, like his number hasn't jumped off the page, 8-8 so far this season. But look, I think there's at least a little bit left in the tank. And certainly as we talk about from a bench depth perspective, adding Kevin Love, I do think, is interesting for some teams as well. I think any of those teams, you know, I think the Clippers might actually be the most interesting because then you could kind of step in and you know for sure that you don't have to be anything more than a serviceable reserve, right? I mean, like you've got a really good team there. You don't have to do anything more than be like a serviceable reserve. But having Kevin Love come off the bench to play X amount of minutes a night for that team, I think is fairly interesting.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Look, I think the Kevin Love, I think there's going to be a lot more interest in Kevin Love than there will be in Russell Westbrook. I put it that way. And actually, now that I forgot we were going to talk about Kevin Love, because I'm going to circle right back to the same team. The Miami Heat get a whole lot. I think they get much better with Kevin Love.
That's true.
Now you're talking about adding three-point shooting and to adding a big there that they could use the depth down low as well.
I guess he'd probably step in and be the best three-point shooter they have, right?
Probably.
I mean,
I got to look up exactly what his stats are this year.
He's shooting about 35% from.
Yeah, but he's right up there.
Okay.
Tyler Hero's 36.6% this year.
Yeah.
So he would step right in and be the third best three-point shooter on the team by percentage this year. But if I got to go to him or Caleb Martin down the stretch, I'm going to Kevin Love.
Yeah, I mean, it at least gives you another threat, right? I mean, like, they at least have to take him seriously if he's standing at the three-point line. Like, there's as of right now, like you're saying, they don't have to take anyone seriously. Like, they don't have to even look at anybody when they're standing out at that three-point line. So, I might be with you on that one, man. I'm with you here.
That one makes a ton of sense.
Kevin Love to the Heat. I might have to get me a Heat ticket in the account. What do you think? Just an Eastern Conference Heat ticket.
I can't do it.
16-1.
I can't do it.
Come on. You can do it.
If you don't say the words Bucks or Celtics, I can't be convinced.
Some live betting tips when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score prop bet on any NBA game. If your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in bonus bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then, wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game. If your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in bonus bets. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of older 21 years of age or older to wager, new and existing customers only. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you do have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, or in Nevada. Is Matt Brown in for Gil here on A Numbers Game on VSiN? And we were talking some NBA, talking about where some people might end up. I think on the break, Kelly and I decided that if there is a market that opens, and these happen with players from time to time. Now, I don't know if Kevin Love will be a big enough player for it actually to hit, but Kelly, we were saying if they put up the next team for Kevin Love to play for market, which again, they've done it for big name players. I don't know if they'll do it for Kevin Love or not, but hey, look, put up a new NBA market. Put it out there, guys. We'll go ahead and throw it out there for you. You know, we'll give you an idea. I think the Heat, now that you do bring him, only 35% this year. He shot 39% from three last year. This is a guy that would be a threat from the three-point line. And as you mentioned, even though he's only averaging 8-8 for the Cavs this year, it's more of a thing where he's just not needed on this team. They have what they need. Kevin Love doesn't really fit what they have in their rotation right now. But from a Heat perspective, as you said, this is one of the worst three-point shooting teams in all of the NBA. And so why not bring in some dude that, even if he's just a decoy, even if he's just standing out there, like, they have to take consideration that he's out there, and that could actually open things up.
Yeah, I think that move makes a lot of sense. I know I spent some time talking about Westbrook to the Heat, but that one makes way more sense, even than Westbrook. I think it obviously it's in different ways, but both – I bring up both with Miami because they need the scoring help. They need the scoring help. So I think both are viable options for them. But yes, with how, I don't even want to say poorly, but irregular three-point shooting that team has gotten this year from different guys. You know, there's been the Max Strus getting his run, and all these other guys have gotten their chances, but nobody's really done it consistently for the past couple years outside of Tyler Hero. So it is – that's been the struggle there. And like you said, I think to bring in a veteran guy who you can really count on to shoot from downtown, plus add another big to your depth chart when they really are thin down low, I think it makes a ton of sense for them.
And it also makes a little bit of sense as well, because when you look at the remaining strength of schedule, they have 23 games remaining, ninth toughest schedule in the NBA as we head down the stretch here for this Miami Heat team. So any kind of jolt, it makes sense as to why they might be looking around, talking to Westbrook. I can only imagine talking to Kevin Love as well. If you are wondering just the remaining strength of schedule for all the teams in the NBA, we'll just give you like the kind of the top half here. Yeah. The Sixers actually with the toughest remaining schedule in the NBA. Clippers, then the Hawks, Sacramento, Toronto, Phoenix, Brooklyn, the Knicks, then Miami, then Boston, the Bucks, then Chicago. That's your top 12 as far as toughest remaining schedules. If you look at teams that do have an easy remaining schedule, the easiest of all the teams, the Dallas Mavericks. Then we go, some of the contenders. 27th would be the Cavs, so if you want to look at them as maybe having a good stretch run here. Memphis with 25th ranked strength of schedule remaining, and Denver, the 20th toughest schedule remaining. So a team that is really doing well, does not have to battle a ton down the stretch either. So pretty good for all the backers out there of not only Jokic, but just the Nuggets in general. So I know that Gil likes to say that you guys get tweets on this show a lot, but this one was actually focused on us as fill-ins, Kelly, even though you're not a fill-in. You're a regular.
Yeah.
You're a regular. The beard is here every day, but I guess I'm the fill-in, Stormy filling in early mornings on the shows here. So I am coming in as the, hey, my favorite fill-in trio. We'll just say, I'm part of the duo that's a fill-in. For someone who has gotten into live betting, NBA, NCAA, the last year or so, maybe a good time for a segment this week on tips, tricks, and advice, thanks to producer number X. And that is from Jesse Welch. And Kelly, listen, this is something that we have talked about a few different times whenever we have been in previous iterations of shows that you and I have done together, from kind of timing the NBA bets and stuff. And really, I think the first and foremost tip that I would give, and I'll see what you think if this is the most important to you, sometimes you can just go into a game with an in-game strategy. I think that sometimes we look at some of these spreads and you would be like, man, I would bet this if X, Y, or Z. And like we say, if this total was a little bit lower or a little bit higher, or if the spread wasn't 7.5 and it was 5 or 5.5, if it was whatever, like, you can actually go into those games, watch just the first few minutes of the games. We don't necessarily advocate this as the game gets way, way into the game, but, you know, the first few minutes of a game, while the algorithm is going to factor those first few minutes in, we know as NBA fans, we know as sports fans, all of that, things in the first 4 minutes of a game do not dictate how the rest of the game is going to go. So a team gets out to a 7-8 point lead, you might get that 5, 5.5 point spread that you were aiming for before the game started instead of the 7.5. And so for me, I like to just look at games, circle them, and say, okay, I'll invest 5 minutes of my time into the first 5 minutes of this game, see how things are going, see if I can get to the number that I felt was kind of more ideal for me. And if so, cool, I'll bet it. If not, I'll move on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are times where it's, if you're handicapping NBA, and if it's some, you know, specifically we'll talk NBA here, and we can talk about some other sports later on. But, you know, NBA, I think, if you're looking at that, like you said, if it's a number you don't exactly love, side or total, so if it's just off by a smidge to your numbers or what you think it should be, it could just be waiting a couple minutes into the game and be able to get something live. I do think it's important to point out, though, in that situation of how long it usually takes for that first timeout or commercial break to occur in an NBA game, and depending on where you're betting, that could matter, right? Mm. I know a lot of our friends in other states with DraftKings and a lot of these books available to them, those odds are far more real time with the action. So I think you can be, if you see a timeout on the court and they don't go to commercial, yeah, I think it's a good time to get in. We're a little bit more cautious with that out here in Nevada, with just the books we're dealing with are just not as fast, really, as what's going on. But I do think that's another important point to bring up, is just especially with NBA, it's a game of runs. It's why live betting the NBA is so great. Don't fall into the trap, though, of, okay, they just came out of a commercial, and now you think it's a good time to jump in live when one team started going and you didn't put a live bet in. It might very quickly swing the other way on you as far as the scoring goes. So I think always recommending the first place to start live betting is in those commercial timeouts. It's the easiest and best time to make those bets. And then, I'll go a little bit further, I think, with NBA, where I really look to get into. If I'm attacking a game more from just an in-game betting perspective and not as much a side that I already had circled ahead of time, it's usually into that second quarter is when we start to see those lines really adjust off that pregame number and really adjust to what's happening in the game. So second quarter to about midway through the third quarter is where I'll look to jump in live betting action. And a lot of the time, I don't want to simplify this or make it sound like it's too simple. You should already have a side in mind or a over-under in mind.
And with that, it's kind of like you have to go into this understanding that, like, your bet just might never get there. You can't force anything.
That's the biggest thing, yes. Yeah. If you're looking for a specific number, there's a chance you never see that number.
So get there.
That's why I'm not going to never knock on people for betting it pregame in the NBA, too, because there is a chance you're never going to get that number again. Mm. It's a good point to bring that up. But, you and I often talk about sometimes it's, okay, Team A is shooting 58% from the field and 67% from three, and Team B, who was a 4-point favorite pregame, is shooting 38% from the field and has only made 1 3 the whole game. We kind of know over the course of an NBA game that stuff is going to balance out at least a little bit. So if you can catch that favorite, catching 5.5 points, man, that bet makes a lot more sense.
Yep, that is my biggest, that is honestly outside of the things that we said about, not forcing anything and kind of having an idea going into the game to start. That is the biggest tip that I can give betting NBA live, is if you see outliers and it is, Kelly mentioned some teams shooting 67% from three or something like that. Like, yes, they very well might continue that for the rest of the game, but it's highly unlikely. Mm-hmm. And so if you can kind of catch those outlier situations and then the number is moved favorably to you, then that is one of the biggest things that we try to do whenever we are betting these things live. And so we'll actually pose that question there to our guest here at the top of the hour. Jonathan Von Tobar, NBA expert, coming up next.